Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Well, my show is for you and about you, those who work so hard for your money. And you want your money to start working harder for you right now. You want that freedom, cash flow, and prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, to be able to live that life that you love with those you love. But most importantly, guys, it's not just about being rich, about creating a rich life, because as you're blessed financially, you have the ability to create a greater impact in the lives of others. And that's the ripple effect that I'm so happy to be able to have with you guys today. Thank you for allowing me to be able to share. And thank you for binging and sharing and be able to make this podcast awesome. So again, thank you for joining us today. As a reminder, be sure to go check out our YouTube channel. If you haven't already subscribed to the Money Ripples with Chris Miles page, where not only do we have these podcasts, but we also have some video shorts and some other little tidbits and tips that can be great to help you take it to that next level. So be sure to check that out. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income from making at least double digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually earn double digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA friendly. And you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. So guys, if you want to learn more about that, go check out securedinvestmentcorp.com. That's secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, investmentcorp.com. All right, guys. So I've got a special guest today. This one, I'll tell you, I didn't even have to ask them for a topic. Like, sometimes they'll say, here's a suggested topic. So I said, I don't even care about the topic. I just want to hear this guy's story. Because when you hear it, you'll think, okay, this is unbelievable. Too good to be true. No way. This man's name is Trevor Blake. He's a serial entrepreneur and is a New York Times bestseller who over the last 10 years has gone from starting his business with just a few hundred dollars, just bootstrapping it, to creating and successfully selling and exiting three separate companies, guys, three companies, selling them for over $600 million. And get this is the part that's crazy to me. All while never hiring a single employee, and does this while only working 5 hours a day, right? So giving him focus to have that balanced life and do what he loves. And so super excited to be able to hear about this today. I know you should be too. Blake, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
So, all right. So you got to tell us some of the background. I know we're talking about this off the air. So you were definitely not raised with a silver spoon in your mouth from what you've said.
Right. So I grew up in what we would describe as poverty, broken down farmhouse. My father was unemployed and unemployable my whole life. My mum was dying of cancer. So we lived on welfare. And so that set a particular mindset for me, that one of a sense of lack of have and have nots. And I have to admit to being kind of jealous and envious of those that had stuff. So I worked really hard as a teenager to change. I didn't want to be the same as my father, who was the same as his father, and so on and so on. You could see the pattern happening. So I wanted to change that. And then I changed it just by reading biographies. It's not magical. I haven't come up with anything creative or clever. I just copied what other people did. So I read dozens and dozens of biographies and found these people were in worse circumstances than I thought I was, but they found a way out. And I started
your favorite ones.
Also, Madam C.J. Walker, without a doubt, Ralph Fiennes. Madam C.J. Walker, born to slaves in the 1800s in a place where being black, being female, and being from that derivation meant you had no chance. She became America's first female millionaire.
Yeah,
it's an amazing story. And I just
self-made, it's like the Netflix.
Unbelievable. I haven't actually watched the Netflix show, but I still reread the biographies even today, like 30, 40 years later. And just reading that uplifted me. So I changed my mindset about money. I changed my relationship, how I thought about money, and that changed everything for me. And so, fast forward through life, I had an amazing adventure in regular career, fast track career, $500,000 a year salary. And so everything was going well. But when I turned 40, I decided to start my own company. And I didn't have the money. I needed like $5 million. I had about 2 million of sitting in a bank. I blew through that so fast, just trying to get investors into my company, just traveling around and trying to get investors. So I ended up kind of with nothing, broke. Wow. So I used $200 to start it, but I started it with a unique business model, which is kind of, I call it a model of alliances. It's really an idea whose time has come. So you structure a company of contractors and vendors, not employees, because in my fast track career, I spent so much time sitting in a meeting room talking about how to keep the employee happy and never mentioning the customer, never mentioning improving products. So I wanted to do it differently, and it proved to be successful. And it became like a plug and play model. So I sold my first company 6 years later for 105 million and then just basically did it again and again. And I'm currently doing it. I currently have four companies on the go, but I'm selling company number four. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to keep 5, 6, and 7 and build them. It's just a plug and play model. It's so much fun. And so I learned that, one of the things that young entrepreneurs particularly tend to do is to do what they've learned through the corporate world, and that is they start a company and then they hire a head of this and an expert in that, mm-hmm. and head of that. And that's like buying a house and hiring a full-time handyman and having them live in the spare room, mm-hmm. in case something goes wrong. It's just cash flow disaster. Yeah. And so by doing it slightly smarter, that's what, so in trevorgblake.com, we talk about doing it a little smarter than that, but also we work really hard on changing the mentality towards money. Yeah. And so once people realize that money is just another form of energy, because everything in life is energy, mm-hmm. that's a scientific fact, not Trevor Blake's opinion. Mm-hmm. Once we understand its energy, we understand the importance of letting it flow. And yes. So you used the ripple effect before. That's a perfect description of our relationship to money. Money comes in, but you have to make that money work because it's energy. If it's not working, it's going to stagnate. And so that's kind of what we go through. I have a course called Transformation, and it transforms people's lives from where they are to where they want to be. But one of the aspects is they have to change their relationship to money. So they eventually get out of debt, and then they start to have the life of dreams.
That's true. Like, one thing I've said a lot is that money's meant to flow and grow, not to just stagnate, right? Because anything, if you think about water, you think about blood, anything that doesn't flow dies, right? That's how you create death, is when the flow stops. I mean, even if you look at water and when it gets dammed up or just becomes this pool of algae and just mess, right? Versus the flowing of like the Amazon or the Nile and how much life it brings to the area because of it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how I think about money. And I have the image in my head of being a little kid standing. I used to love to stand in a stream and feel the flow of water. I don't know why. I just used to enjoy doing it. I used to get soaked and get told off for getting soaked doing it. But I used to do that all the time. And I think of the same thing. And I used to look at the river and see like after a storm, a tree had fallen in it, and how that changed everything in the flow. You dammed it. And so because of that, not only have you changed what happens downstream, but it starts to flow back upstream, and that's where it all stagnates. So I always have that image in my head when I thought about money and businesses and, how to make money work. It's a good visual to think about.
Yeah. Love it. So it's interesting when you talked about how you've built your businesses too, you try to keep them like very profitable. You can tell, right? And it's funny, I did the same thing. Like I used to call myself like the king of contractors, because I would just, hire people for just little jobs here and there. And then once I got to like seven figures, then I ran into a situation. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do here? And so I ended up hiring my first full-time employee, and she's been amazing, but still, I mean, for you to get it to the point of not seven figures, not getting over 1 million, you got over 100 million, right? And still without hiring a single employee, I can guarantee anybody who's looking to buy a business says, I want that. Like, how can I gobble it up? Right.
Yeah. The easiest part was this, was the selling of it without a doubt, because the formula is very simple, seven times profit or five times revenue. And there's not much of a negotiation. That's kind of the standard price that we get. But you touch on an important point, because I think the business model of using the model of alliances, or the hub model, however we want to call it, I think it does. There's a certain size where it's no longer efficient. And so, in your businesses, you may have found that to be in the tens of thousands or the hundreds of thousands. In the businesses I'm in biopharm, it's really at the 100 million levels. That's why I exited 100 million, because, another company can come in and they can see quite easily, well, we can buy this company. Oh, and hang on, it doesn't have an office building. It doesn't have employees. So it's not going to be complicated. And it can be done in a, with a bottle of wine around a table rather than with a bunch of lawyers. So that's, I get to a certain point and then say, okay, it's time to move on.
Yeah. And what kind of businesses had you set up?
So they've been in pharmaceutical and biopharm, cancer drug research and development. That I've got a company now that I'm in the process of selling. We've developed a a treatment for colon cancer, which has no side effects, which is,
wow,
I was told was impossible. You can't do it. You're crazy. So I couldn't get investors. And it's a very expensive business, right? It's cost hundreds of millions to build this. But our clinical trials done really well. And so now I'm at the same point of, okay, now it's time to go big. I don't want to hire an army of people. I will say to one of the bigger companies, bolt us onto what you have, and you've got a new pipeline.
Yep, exactly. Now, you actually told me you're off the air that you're actually planning to exit one at a much bigger level, right? Because now you've gotten into the hundreds of millions, but you're trying to get into the billion dollars.
Yeah, valuation is tricky with research and development because you don't have the revenue to do an easy formula. And so your valuation is only really what people are willing to pay. And timing is so important. Right now in this market, people are thirsty for what's new and what's next, because so many of the new drugs, the smart drugs, have failed or are failing in the clinic. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time. So my intuition is really important, as you know, in business. I make all my decisions intuitively. We teach that in transformation, how to as a man, how to get somewhere towards the power of female intuition. Mm-hmm. And if I could bottle female intuition, I'd be a multi-billionaire overnight, without a doubt. So getting the valuation right is the tricky part. So it's between the first offer, which is 400 million, and the top offer, which would be about 1.3 billion. Somewhere in the middle there is the value of this company, but we have to have a third party to spend.
Yeah, love it. Now, I actually want to come back to the intuition part, because I've talked about intuition and following your gut. And I've had a few clients say, Chris, but how do you do that? Like, how do you trust yourself? How do you know it's just your brain talking? It's usually the most logical people, right? The left brain people are saying, how do you know between your brain talking versus, feels right? Like, I don't know how to do that. What would you recommend for people to be able to really tune into that intuition? Because I know from my experience, that's been the best decisions have always been from my intuition, not necessarily from just my logic brain.
I totally agree. My best decisions have always been those instantaneous ones that feel just right. And that feel is really important. So in transformation, what we have a few tools and techniques where we are able to take ourselves to a space. This all sounds a little woo-woo, but it's actually scientific. But take ourselves to a space where we are able to go inside internally instead of externally. So, analysis is always external, isn't it? So we're always looking at things and trying to figure it all out. This is more internal, like to try to get to a place where what my wife used to call, we were together 40 years, and fortunately she died a year ago, but I used to rely on her a lot for her intuition, but she would call it, I just know. Mm-hmm. And it used to frustrate me. I say, well, how can you just know? You've never met this guy. You don't even understand the business. How do you know he's good or he's bad? And she was always right. And so I figured out tools scientifically, because I'm a physicist by education. I figured out tools to get to a place of just knowing. Mm-hmm. And so it requires a form of meditation, and it requires immersing yourself in nature at a regular point. That's why the 5-hour workday is so important. 2 hours of analytical work, 2 hours out in the woods where the magic happens, the aha moment, the great ideas. And so what you're looking for is to get to a point where you have the idea or you have the solution, but you don't feel excited and you don't feel worried. And it's a sense of complete calm. Yes. And I've tested this out with a lot of different people, healers, psychics, astrologers, and they all say the same thing. When you just know, even though it's crazy, even though everybody around you is telling you you're mad and it's not right, and it should be blue, but your intuition says it should be red, the red's the right answer, because you feel totally calm, totally like a peace that passeth no understanding.
That's so true.
It's that calm that indicates this is the path to go down. But you have to work as a man, we have to work at tools and techniques to get to that point. As a woman, you already have that, but a lot of women, it's not been prized in the workplace. It's been ignored. It's been laughed at and the rest of it. You have to gain the confidence again. Do you have a real advantage here? And so again, in transformation, we work really hard on that. We have, I think 65% females in transformation. And once they get this, and they realize they've had this for all this time, I mean, nothing can hold them back. They just go on this amazing journey afterwards.
It's true. I remember realizing how important that was. And this is before, of course, he became president, but Donald Trump, right? He talked about in his book, Never Give Up, which talks more about his humble failures, right? Or his version of humble, right? It's the more humblest you've probably seen of him. But he talks about some of his failures. And one of the things he talked about was following your gut, right? And that was one of his big successes. And I remember he mentioned about The Apprentice, you know, when he was approached to have that TV show. And when he was approached, his entire board, everybody unanimously said, don't do it. You'll drag your name through the mud. It will ruin your reputation for being this reality TV star. Don't you dare do it. And he's like, you know, I respect you guys, but I'm going to do it. Like, it feels right. I'm going to go for it. You know, and I mean, look what it did. I mean, it created a whole brand off of, you know, a bigger brand off of Trump than what he had previously, where he was really, I mean, even now, he's still kind of small potatoes in the wealth spectrum, but still, I mean, it got him much bigger on that totem pole just because of that little decision, despite what all the experts were saying.
I mean, I could paper my whole, all the walls and all my homes, I could paper with rejection slips. I truly could, for my books, for my courses, for my businesses, for investors. I mean, even after a success, you would think the same investors would want to say, okay, what's next, Trevor? I went to the same investors and they said, no, it's a stupid idea. So, but you know, intuitively it's always felt right. And I know if I'd listened, I mean, I do, it's not to be arrogant. I do listen to people's advice. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but if it doesn't feel right down in your gut, if it doesn't feel that calm, you know, this, I'm onto something here. It's kind of how I think of it in my head. Then you shouldn't do it. And so, I think it's so important. It's so powerful, but overlooked by most people.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with that. And so, you know, I think with our culture, the hard thing is that we just have so many people that believe, hey, you got to be productive, right? They almost have this factory worker mentality of work more hours, work, work, work. Especially in the entrepreneur space, you know, you see that all the time, where it's almost become a badge of honor to work 100+ hours to get out there and hustle, which has driven me nuts. How big that is, and I do agree that it does require work and effort. But I've noticed when you come more intuitively, a lot of that ends up being just busy fluff. It's just not really valuable. What would you speak to that for those that usually don't take that time out to connect in nature and connect with their intuition?
Well, we fool ourselves into thinking after a certain time we've got into the zone, but what we've got into is a period of diminishing returns. It's science.
Yeah.
So neuroanatomy proves that you can't concentrate beyond 2 hours. Some people even say even 10 minutes, but most people aren't just doing that. They're working, but then they're checking text and they're doing this. Every time you get distracted, it takes 35 minutes to get back on track. And so what you end up doing is working all those hours, but the actual hours that were productive were very, very small. Yes. So if you know that and you plan your day, so I have the practical magic of a 5-hour workday is a free download, no strings attached, on trevorgblake.com. I did it because COVID came in and everybody, all these people were being washed into working from home without any training. And you need training. That tendency at working from home is to sit in front of the computer and wait for an email to come through or to wait for the phone to go, you know, and you feel like you're doing something wrong if that's not happening all the time. You get burned out really quickly. I found that out myself. That's why can talk like an expert. That's what I did to myself, burn myself out within about 6 months. And so I studied, you know, how does the brain work? It's called peak brain performance. And you're absolutely right. If you go back before the Industrial Revolution, people only worked 4 hours a day. They had their priorities right. It was family, church, leisure, work. You know, we're work, 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 right? So I know lots of successful entrepreneurs who do 16-hour days, but they're on their third marriage. And, you know, the kids, that's no way to live. Success with balance is the way to live. So the practical magic of the 5-hour workday, it shows you how to structure the day into productive work periods. And then the way to get to the aha moment, you get out into nature, you take time, you have a long lunch, you take a nap after lunch, which is a requirement of all NASA pilots. They're required to nap after lunch because it improves their performance 40% in the afternoons. So you take all these little tools and techniques and you build them into your day. But the secret is that you have to treat them with the same importance as the work thing. So if you've got a Zoom meeting like we're doing now, you're between 9 and 9:30, that's fine. But if your schedule says at 9:30, you're due a walk, you go for that walk, no matter how the Zoom meeting is going, you're out. Okay, it has to be treated with the same importance as a meeting or a negotiation or something like that. And then once you get into that habit, then you get your balanced life back and think your stress goes away. And it's then it becomes so much fun. You know, it's not like work. It doesn't, my companies don't feel like work to me. Mm-hmm. It's like painting or writing or something.
Yeah, I love it. Well, like you said, trevorgblake.com is the website, right?
Yeah, everything's there. There's a lot of freebies.
Awesome.
I don't need money. All my proceeds on books and stuff that goes to cancer research and development. So that's, you know, it's out there. It's my way of giving back. That's really why I've done this.
Yeah, I love it, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to check all that out and just really absorb that, because I think that's something that's missing a lot for people. Is that, again, it comes back to, like you said, I believe the same thing, is that some stuff that people call woo-woo really is scientifically backed. But yep. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that aren't very scientifically minded that try to talk about the woo-woo, and then it sounds very ethereal. It doesn't sound like it's practical. But be able to put in a practical, practical magic, but practical application makes that magic work, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the things. I'm not a big fan of self-help because of that, because it makes you feel better about the life you have, but it doesn't get you a better life because they have so few tools and techniques that work. Yeah. So things like law of attraction aren't based on any scientific principles. They're made up laws, and the quote reads great, it feels good, you wish it was true. Mm-hmm. But if you look hard at yourself, you'd say actually nothing changed. So what we have is tools and techniques that are tested by science, but also the ones that I use every single day, because I have all the self-doubts that everybody else has. I have all the flaws that everybody else has. So the authentic piece is that I actually use the stuff I talk about every day, and I have to. And so I'm proof positive continuously that this stuff works.
Oh, love it. Trevor, again, appreciate your time on the show. This is a fantastic stuff. And this episode, I think people should listen to more than once, right? This should not be one you just listen to one time and just leave it. This is something you should probably re-listen to, because there's so much depth in this and just such a short interview. So again, thank you for being such a valuable contributor and value creator in our lives today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I really hope it helps your listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Help me. So again, Trevor, thanks. Everybody else, go check out his website, trevorgblake.com. We'll put that in the show notes for you to be able to reference in case you're driving. We don't want you to drive off the road, but if worst case, remember trevorgblake.com. Check out his materials there. And everybody, again, it's not about just being a hearer of the word, but a doer as well. And so take this, learn it, apply it in your life so that you can prosper and be able to be a bigger blessing in the lives of others. Make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.